San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Good evening, everybody. That lead-in wasn't entirely accurate. It's here is Richard with a special guest, but Joe... he's taking the evening off. He's at a birthday party. I'll tell everybody where in just a minute. But I hope everybody's enjoying summertime here in the middle of winter. I went swimming in the Pacific Ocean today without a wetsuit on. Normally don't do that until May. So all my friends back east want to kill me because they've had the worst winter in forever. And we're out here frolicking in 90-degree weather in the middle of winter. Anyway, Joe is at a birthday party tonight. He's at Michelle and Bill Larac's house celebrating Bill's 69th birthday, so big happy birthday to Bill. Bill Larac, of course, was the first guest ever on this radio show way back in, I think it was October 31st, 2011. He was our first guest ever. Also, big happy birthday to my brother Bob Muzio, whose birthday is in 2 days. My brother Bob's going to be 58, so happy birthday, Bob. Joe also asked me to give a quick shout-out to Joe's friend, our friend Gene Sum, who's on the board at the Signet Theater. And I used to, I call that the Old Town Theater. That's right. They changed the name of the Old Town Theater. It's now the Signet Theater. But Joe wanted me to mention that at the Signet Theater, which is also known as the Old Town Theater, running through April 26 is My Fair Lady. And everybody who's been says that it's great. So check that out. Again, Signet, C-Y-G-N-E-T Theater, formerly known as the Old Town Theater, My Fair Lady, running through April 26. A couple of other things before we get to our special guest. His name is Neil. Hey, Neil, I'm going to tell you a quick story. So then I'll tell everybody who Neil is. So 2 weeks ago, because people have been wondering, I was in a really bad auto accident. I was sitting at a red light in UTC on Genesee just before Executive Drive in rush hour. So nobody was moving. Even if the lights turned green, it was like, you know, 8,000 cars lined up with nowhere to go, and somebody pulls up behind me, and just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, just a big loud bang, and I thought my head was going to fly off my shoulders, and I got rear-ended by the car in back of me, which I didn't understand because that car was just sitting there. And so when I pulled over to see what happened, it turns out the person behind the car that hit me never even hit their brakes and ran into that car that then ran into me. I fortunately didn't hit the car in front of me, so we kept it at three cars. So anyhow, funny story came out of this. So I got out of the car after I pulled my car around the corner, in the middle car, which was totaled. An older woman got out, and I guessed her to be in her early 80s. And her car was in bad shape. Fortunately, she wasn't injured seriously. But without mentioning any names, she said, you know, I've been driving since I was 10 years old, since 1943, and this, I've never had an accident, I've never had a ticket. And unfortunately, the driver who hit us, he was on some heavy medication, I think, because he had the flu, so he was like useless in terms of helping the situation. And she didn't have a very responsive insurance company, so it took 2 hours to get her tow truck out because her car was totaled. And I stayed out there to help her the whole time. Police wouldn't come because there were no injuries. So I was out there for over 2 hours, missed my dinner appointment. I was going to an assisted living home to visit a friend for early dinner at 5:15. Never got there, obviously. The accident happened like at 5 o'clock 2 weeks ago Thursday. And so anyway, I called this woman who I pegged in her early 80s the next day just to see how she was doing, which was a Friday. And she called me back the following Saturday morning 2 weeks ago and told me she was getting on okay, but she just wanted to thank me for going out of my way, for hanging around for 2 hours to help her with the tow truck and to make sure she got home. And her driver's license had an address near downtown. And so anyway, she thanked me for going out of my way to do all of that for her. And then she said, hey, I want to put my son on the line. So she put her son on the line, who sounded like he was in his 60s. And he just thanked me again for going beyond the call of duty to help his mom out. And I said to his son, I'm not going to mention his name because I'm going to keep everything private, so I'll call him Fred, which is not his name. I said, hey, Fred, I got to ask you a question. I said, is it true your mom has been driving since she was 10 years old in 1943 and has never had an accident or gotten a ticket? He goes, yeah, that was true. He goes, she had never been in an accident until Thursday night. Now she can say she's never been in one that was her fault. And she has been driving since she was 10, he says. But he goes, one thing, mom's math is a little bit off. He said, she's been driving since she was 10, which would be 1928. He says, mom is going to be 97 in May. So I got hit by a 96-year-old. It wasn't her fault. She's been. So anyway, she was by herself. So I said, hey, Don, I got to ask you another question. I said, What on earth is your mom doing driving in rush hour traffic in UTC on a Thursday night, 15 miles from home? He goes, oh, well, she volunteers at the hospital twice a week. So like, well, good for her. But I mean, the mom's math is a little off. She's going to be 97 in May. Unbelievable. I thought she was like 83. Anyhow, last thing before we get to our guest, real quickly, Servant Leadership Institute had a great event, fifth annual, on Monday and Tuesday earlier this week at the Coronado Marriott. Again, we had some of the speakers on the show over the last 3 weeks, but amazing presentations by, among many others, Stephen M. R. Covey, Ken Blanchard, John Maxwell, Cheryl Batchelder, Debbie Marriott Harrison. So great event, Servant Leadership Institute. Check out servantleadershipinstitute.com. And again, it was a great event. And they'll be back out again a year from now with their sixth annual event. But the speakers were beyond belief, and some great books. Cheryl Batchelder's new book, Dare to Serve, is incredible. Stephen M. R. Covey's new book, The Speed of Trust, unbelievable book. Art Barter wrote a new book, too, called Farmer Abel, A-B-L-E, Farmer Abel, great read. So check out servantleadershipinstitute.com. Anyway, enough about what I've been doing. And I hope Joe's having fun at his party at Bill and Michelle's house. But I've got a really special guest, one of our newer sponsors. That would be Mr. Neil Staley with Hub International, also known as Mars Maddox Insurance. Neil, my apologies for rambling on here, but welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Richard.
And I appreciate you coming in, when you could have been out, you know, playing in the sunshine or at the beach. But you do something really interesting. But before we get to that, I just wanted to do a little bit of background on you, like where you're from. And I have to announce something. This is the first time that we've had a brother on the show of a brother who's been on the show previously. Your brother, Noel, was on, I think it was last summer, at the Berry Dinner at Bill and Michelle Lerac's house that we broadcast from live, where everybody in the farm-to-table movement came out, and your brother was on. So you're following your brother. First time ever we've had a brother follow a brother, although you have nothing to do with what your brother does for a living. So tell us a little bit about what you do, where you came from, and how you got to this point in your life.
Yeah, that's fine. I do have a little bit to do with what my brother does for a living, but it's a used to. I used to be involved in the farming business just because I was born into the farming business. My dad came down here in 1963 and from Anaheim. They were farmers up in Anaheim and started the ranch out in Valley Center. And when my dad passed away in 2000, my brothers took over the family farm and have since turned it organic and are opening up a few stores here in San Diego and even looking at opening up one in North County in the North Coastal area.
Staley Farms, right?
Staley Farms,
that's correct. S-T-E-H-L-Y.
That's correct. Farms. And you'll find them in some of the well-known food stores such as Jimbo's and Whole Foods and so forth. But that's where I come from. And then I was the only one of the boys that didn't stay in the anything relative to the agriculture business. My friend, my really close friend, says that God bless Neil with asthma. So when I was a kid, I had asthma it was difficult for me to operate in the summertime, but I did. When I graduated from college, I got into the insurance business not long after that. And since then, now I've been in the business for, going on about 25 years.
You went to University of San Diego, right?
That's correct.
What year did you graduate?
1987.
Yeah, I was class of 1980.
Yeah.
Great university. And so you, no regrets about not going into the farming business, huh?
No, you know, it's been, I love being from the farming business. You know, I do a lot with our clients with, we give them fruit instead of See's candy.
Sure. And that's, much better choice.
Yeah, and that's what we do. So I've been able to use my brothers to help me spread the word and, you know, about eating good and healthy, and so it's been good. And my kids still go out to the ranch because that's where grandma is, and so they have the best of both worlds as well.
Yeah, it's neat stuff. So you're with a company called Hub International, but that's a fairly new, not a new association, just a new name because of, I guess you might call it a merger. Tell us a little bit about the history of your company Yeah. And how you came to partner up with Hub.
Yeah. Our company is called Mars Maddox & Associates, and there's two Mars, two brothers, and then there's a sister named Maddox. And though they were the owners of, they started Mars Maddox in 1991, and it grew up to be one of the top 10 agencies in San Diego County. And they are actually third generation insurance people. They still have accounts that their grandfather had and their father had. So they've been in the insurance business for a long, long time. And in October, they made the move to sell the agency to Hub International, which is the ninth largest broker in the world. And they are the largest privately held broker in the world. And we got to pick Hub International as who we wanted to be associated with. There were several companies that wanted to acquire Mars Maddox, but we got to choose them, and they've been a great, over these last kind of 5.5 months, it's been great. They basically let us do what we do and give us a lot of resources to do that.
But you mentioned Hub is ninth largest nationally, so they have a presence all across the U.S., correct?
They do. 340, I believe, locations across the United States.
And so I assume one of the benefits of the merger or the acquisition is that it gives you guys access to a lot of additional resources that maybe heretofore, as a just a local business, you didn't have access to, correct?
That's right. That's right. It's been great. Even just in the 5 months or so, we've been able to access some really nice benefits from being more of a global company.
And I ask that because when we come back after our break, we're going to be talking about one of my all-time favorite topics, which is the Healthcare Reform Act. I've been in the accounting business, some people know, since 1980, and this is like the most complicated thing I've seen in my almost 35 years of business. But we're gonna make the Healthcare Reform Act interesting on radio. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Everybody stay tuned. We are gonna be right back with It's Your Money and Your Life and Mr. Neil Staley. It's Classical Gas, Mason Williams. Good stuff. We are back with It's Your Money and Your Life. It's Richard Musio flying solo while Joe Vecchio's partying till the cows come home at Bill and Michelle Lirak's house for Bill's 69th birthday. That was sort of a farmer reference, until the cows come home.
Exactly.
Sort of, Neil.
But, I got it.
But Neil, before we get into the Healthcare Reform Act, I know, why don't you give us a brief summary of the major things that Hub, or formerly known as, or maybe still known as, Mars Maddox and Associate does. When you say insurance or benefits, be a little bit more precise about your specialties, if you would, because you guys do amazing work.
Sure. We serve basically the small to mid-sized to large business community, both on the employee benefit side as well as on the property casualty workers' comp side. So that includes everything on the property and liability and the casualty side. It includes, directors and officers liability and all that types of stuff. A lot of risk management type things. And now that we're with Hub, there's amazing resources that we have on risk management, which is a big concern for a lot of employers. One of the things that's really big right now is cyber liability. You've seen these things happening, like that happened with one of our own carriers, Anthem Blue Cross, that you heard about not too long ago.
I'm a member.
Yes. So
yeah, I've gotten some interesting emails.
Yes. Yeah, so you got some interesting emails. Yes. Yeah, so those kind of things, we do all of that. I specialize and I run the benefit side of Mars Maddox, which is now the Carlsbad office of Hub International, on the employee benefit side. So we represent pretty much all size companies, but I would say that middle market is our sweet spot, anywhere from 50 to about 400 employees.
And when you say benefits, what do you mean by benefits?
So anything that is the employee benefit that's offered at an employer group. So anything from medical to dental to vision to the ancillary lines like life insurance, long-term disability, those types of things. And then a big part of what we do, Richard, is not just the placement of those insurance, but it's the management of that on an annual basis. So we become kind of like an extension of the HR department. And then as well as compliance. Compliance is a huge thing. I kind of say I used to sell insurance and be an insurance broker, but now I'm a compliance officer. Mm-hmm. So because of, healthcare reform and so forth.
Right. One more question. I know on workers' comp, for example, things like employee training, experience ratings, those things are really, really important if companies are trying to be sensitive to being efficient and effective with the dollars they pay. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a huge thing on the workers' comp side. And we, my partners and I that are on the workers' comp side, share a lot of accounts. So we have a lot of the same employer groups. And a big part of managing your risk is on the workers' comp side, because trying to keep that experience modification number down, keep premiums down. So they're putting in safety programs. They're putting in all kinds of programs that are helping to keep those claims down. And it's a big thing, especially for your manufacturer type groups, groups that are on a little higher risk level when it comes to employees.
But my favorite topic, the Health Care Reform Act. I know you know more about this than probably anybody I've ever met, which is hard to do because the government itself, which put the law in, doesn't seem to know anything about it.
Yeah.
And so for you to be able to interpret that, which is law, which, well, shall we say the lawmakers can't even explain.
Right.
Can you just give us a general overview of the history of, a lot of people call that Obamacare. I don't like to refer to it as Obamacare.
Right.
Because it's a little bit disrespectful, I think. But
right.
Just a little bit of the history of where this thing started, how it's gotten to where it is today.
Right. It passed in March of 2010. That was when it passed.
Hey, it's the fifth anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's coming up here very shortly, 24th, I believe.
I think it was the 24th.
Yeah. So it is a law that is, it's funny. I always take, whenever you ask a good wealth manager, what do you think is going to happen with the stock market? And they're going to say, I think that it's gonna, it's gonna change.
Yeah,
it's gonna, So, what I say about when somebody asks me what you think is gonna happen with healthcare reform, and I'm gonna say it's gonna change, and it's still gonna continue to evolve, and it's evolved, from the day it passed. And there's still some, I think, going to be some changes on the horizon. I did a seminar for over 150 people one day, and by the time I got to the office, the biggest change that happened was it was July 2nd of two years ago, and it they basically delayed the employer mandate, which was a huge change, and that was on the same day I gave the webinar, and I sent an email out to all the participants I said I told you it was going to change, but I didn't know it was going to change today. At any rate, It is something. I think that there's a few things that are still on the horizon to either be delayed or changed, but it's an evolving law.
And can you differentiate for us? We hear about large employers and small employers and self-employed. And
mm-hmm.
What's the difference with all of these classes?
Sure. So on the employer mandate, okay, that applies to ALEs or applicable large employers. And the way that those are calculated are based on full-time equivalent employees. So it's different than full-time employees because it's a factor of determining how many full-time employees that work over 30 hours per week on average.
Right, because a lot of employers said, well, I don't want to comply, so I'll just go out and hire a bunch of part-time people, but that doesn't work.
Right. That doesn't really work because the other thing that's going to aggregate is your part-time employees are going to be added up together. Basically, their hours are going to be added up together, and then you're going to divide, you take all their monthly hours, you divide by 120, and that gives you full-time equivalents that you add to your regular full-timers, mm-hmm. and that determines whether you're over the 50 threshold or the 100 threshold. And the reasons there's two thresholds now is that was another one of the delays that happened, is that they basically gave what they call transitional relief, which says that an employer that's between 50 and 100 will not be subject to any penalties in 2015. They will be delayed till 2016. So now we're trying to determine whether somebody's over 50 or over 100, because that's a critical thing right now. As far as 2015 and 2016 is concerned.
But anybody over 100 is now in a state of full compliance.
Exactly.
Correct?
They're in the period at which they will be subject to penalty if they do not offer, or they're not offering affordable health care coverage.
Okay, and then there's this thing here. We're sitting here in California. There's this thing called the California Exchange. What on earth is the California Exchange? Does that mean we can trade California in for a state with lower income taxes?
Yeah, exactly. That's Covered California is the name of our state's exchange. You probably heard a lot about federally. Every state was given the opportunity to set up their own exchange, and if they didn't set up their own exchange, they had to set the federal government set up an exchange, and that's what's sitting in the Supreme Court right now, because mm-hmm. the law, the fine print in the law said that you couldn't, it had to be a state exchange, And so the what's sitting with the Supreme Court is whether the ones that are federal exchanges, which is not California, whether they can charge a whether they can pay a subsidy. So that is a big deal. And so that we're going to get that ruling, I think, pretty soon. But going back to what Covered California is, Covered California is our exchange. And that is the device where an employee, any individual can go and buy coverage from a list of carriers that participate in the exchange. And that is the way that they could possibly get a subsidy from the government. You know, the only way you can get a subsidy is if you apply through the exchange. And determining the subsidy is going to be dependent on household income. And household income is also includes, you know, how many in your family, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So if you're anywhere between about 138% of poverty level and 400% of poverty level, you may qualify for a subsidy.
So that's, for example, where a self-employed person would go who previously had no insurance, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. They could go there, or they could actually go to the private market, because there's a private, and a lot of people don't realize you don't have to go to the exchange. The exchange is really, you definitely want to go there if you might possibly get a subsidy. But there's a private individual market that has all the same rules that the exchange has as far as when the open enrollment is, can't, you know, guarantee issue, can't, you know, no pre-existing conditions, you know, exclusions, things like that.
Sure.
And the private market might be better for somebody who does not qualify for a subsidy, because in the exchange, there are some limited plans and limited networks that are involved, and you might have more variety outside the exchange.
Gotcha. So we're going to move from the exchange to a break. Everybody sit tight. This is our 7:30 break coming up. We're going to be right back with It's Your Money and Your Life and Mr. Neil Staley with Hub International. Everybody sit tight. We are back with It's Your Money and Your Life. Richard Musio, sans Joe Vecchio, but with Neil Staley from Hub International. I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors. A lot going on with our sponsors. UBS, Michael Caronta and Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without UBS and Michael Caronta's team. And I know we're going to see them out at the Indian Wells Tennis Tournament later this week. I think they're hosting some clients at that event, so it's going to be good to see the guys and gals from UBS. Also, Signature Analytics, Jason Kruger, CPA, offices in San Diego and now Denver, Colorado. Jason is different than most CPAs. He is a CFO service, that is to say, for companies who need part-time or transitional CFO work. Also has a great back room, best CFO service here west of the Mississippi. Our other most favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs, now in San Marcos in their lovely new building. Right across from City Hall in San Marcos. They're in the throes of tax season, but you wouldn't know it because they're so efficient and good at what they do. So Polito Epic, Don Epic, and Paul Polito, CPAs in San Marcos. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, helping business owners understand the values of their businesses and the risks that drive those values and how to reduce those risks and thus increase the value of those businesses. Best business valuation firm on the planet. That would be Berkeley Research Group and Carl Sheeler. Joel Gruskin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. I was just reading one of Joel's reports before coming over here to do the show, helping one of my real estate owners improve their cash flow to the tune of almost $1 million. Brenda Geiger, Law Office of Brenda Geiger. Brenda is on vacation in Thailand with her husband, Len. So hopefully she's kicking back and relaxing. She was so relaxed, she missed last Saturday night's show. She had in-laws in town and forgot, so we had to play one of our canned shows. But she was packing and so on. So, Brenda, you're forgiven. Come back refreshed and renewed. We'll track you down when you get back in town. Great job of asset protection and estate planning. Geiger Law Office up in Carlsbad. Lane Elliott, Vice President of California Republic Bank. California Republic Bank is a bank out of Orange County that now has a branch here in San Diego and UTC. In fact, just around the corner from where I had my bad car accident. They had nothing to do with it. Had they been out there, I wouldn't have been hit, because California Republic Bank is amazing. They work with wealthy families and family offices specializing in the needs of private equity and real estate owning families. California Republic Bank. Of course, Hub International, formerly known as, still known as for some time, Mars Maddox Insurance. I'm going to have Neil shout out his contact information in about 1 minute. Got three more sponsors to go. Paul Hines with Hearthstone Wealth Advisory and Stop Financial Elder Abuse Alliance. Paul did a great show about 2 months ago, and I think we have him coming back up in May to talk more about that. Again, Stop Financial Elder Abuse Alliance. A new sponsor? Well, they're not new. They come and go depending on their seminar schedule. The LG Experience and the Lombardi Group in Carlsbad helping wealth advisors make CPAs heroes to their very best clients. Some news coming up about a couple of great seminars we have coming up, but I'm not going to give the dates quite yet. I want to get a little bit closer. But again, Lombardi Group and the LG Experience in Carlsbad. And last but not least, women's professional tennis is coming back to San Diego in November. Mention that because there's a huge tournament going on in Indian Wells right now. My wife Mary is one of the owners of this event. It's called the Carlsbad Classic. The Carlsbad Classic. It's going to be Thanksgiving week up in Carlsbad. This year, we're going to co-brand it with my Move Your Feet Before You Eat Oceanside Turkey Trot. Check out Carlsbad Classic at cldclassic.com. That's cldclassic.com. Going to have some amazing women's tennis here in town in Carlsbad over Thanksgiving week this year. It's going to be really, really fun. So that's all of our sponsors. Also want to thank Courtney Lawver with PopX Graphics for running the website. Again, Courtney, if you need something going on with your website, your SEO experiences, she is the best in the business. And Mr. Neil Staley, how can people track you down?
Well, I can be reached. We have simultaneous websites going right now. We still can be reached, and probably the best way right now is at our Mars Maddox website, which is mmains.com. And that's probably the best way to reach me. All of my contact information is on that website.
So back to benefits. I know your brothers who are farmers are frequently outstanding in the field. You are absolutely outstanding in your field. It's just not farming. But one thing that hasn't been outstanding for some self-employed people I know is they're starting to get these forms that are hard to understand. For example, a form 1095A. What on earth is this 1095A? And I heard there's other forms like a B and a C that we have to worry about. Well, maybe not today, but pretty, pretty soon.
Yeah, it is confusing because, as I mentioned, we represent employer groups. So what we're talking to them about is the compliance that they need to be aware of now and going forward. So the forms 1095, whether it be A, B, or C, are the forms that everybody's going to be getting, just like they get a W-2 today in the future. One way or another, you're going to receive one of those forms if you have health insurance, whether you get it from the insurance carrier, you get it from your employer, or you get it from the private exchange. So the 1095A that you were talking about there, that has a little bit more detail about the subsidy and so forth that you may or may not be getting. So because the public exchange is where you would get those subsidies. The other forms are actually not required for the employer to give out until early 2016 for the 2015 tax year. And I thought it was kind of, I chuckled when I saw my tax planner document and I saw that I was supposed to, turn in my 1095 form. And I'm mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, no employer's given those out yet. So that has raised a lot of confusion because really, for those that are not in the exchange, those documents are not necessary to file your taxes. It's kind of basically on the honor system in this for the 2014 tax year.
But I know the IRS has released drafts of the 1095B and C to help employers start to get ready for what their compliance requirements are going to be next year.
That's right. That's right. And then what we're trying to get our employers to really do right now is to make sure that everything that they have for tracking that information mm-hmm. is in place between your payroll system, your HRIS system, your benefits administration system. We do all of those. We do a lot of those things, or at least consult on a lot of those things and use outside vendors for those things. And we're trying to get our employer groups that are large employers to make sure that they have those in place and they have really clean data so that they don't have a nightmare come January 1st of 2016.
Yeah, and I know HUB has some resources too, depending on employer size, if people do have some challenges over in the HR department.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a big thing. Is we're trying to help, as I mentioned before, be an extension of that HR department. But nowadays, it's going to be very hard to manage your benefits without using technology and using it efficiently, because there's just too much that has to be tracked, complied with, and so forth, to not be using good, solid technology. And we've been doing a lot of helping employer groups get that put in place.
Yeah, and I think the sooner the better, because it's going to be a wave of paper floating around this time next year. Well, yeah. It's going to be massive, I think.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be some employers that just weren't ready for it, and they're probably going to be paying out some dollars to get that information done. I think if an employer is doing payroll in-house, it's not the end of the world, but they should be definitely seeing what that system that they're using mm-hmm. is capturing, so that they know that they can spit out what they need come January.
Agreed. Hey, quick example on a 1095A. So my old CPA firm has a self-employed individual who ended up insuring through the exchange for he and his wife. They have no kids. And because his income with his business goes up and down, he qualified for what's known as a monthly advance payment of premium tax credit. That is to say, he got a discount on what he was paying last year for his health insurance during the course of 2014. So he made payments for all 12 months. But then lo and behold, when his tax return got finished for last year, about a week ago, his income was a lot higher than was predicted. So actually, in his case, all of that discount or tax credit got recaptured on his tax return as additional income tax, because it turns out he wasn't entitled to any form of discount. It was just predicted that he would be, but he had a really good year in business, so the income was a lot higher than he thought it was going to be when he applied for the insurance. And so he was a little bit shocked that he owed money, but it's really delineated clearly on this 1095A in terms of columns A, B, and C, what we're dealing with. And right. Until you file a tax return, you just don't know. But right. Neil, speaking about filing tax returns, let's assume that somebody's an employee of a company and they waived coverage whenever their employer, you know, on a couple of occasions told them that all of this new stuff was going mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. Are they getting any bad surprises right now?
Yeah, depending on why they waived. I mean, if they waived just because they couldn't afford it mm-hmm. or decided they didn't want to pay the employee portion of the premium, which is usually much smaller than buying it out on your own for mm-hmm. sure. If they decided to waive coverage and just go without coverage whatsoever, they are seeing that penalty come up here now for 2014, because that the individual mandate, which is the other side of the law, is already in place for the 2014 plan year. So they're being charged 1% of their pay, or $95, whatever is greater, for 2014, and then that goes up to 2%. Here for the 2015 tax year.
But for most employees right now, that's probably cheaper than buying the insurance, correct?
It is, unless they were, you know, if they qualified for a subsidy, and then, you know, it may have been better for them to look at the exchange. But if they're an employee with an employer group, and the employer's participating anywhere from, say, 70% of the employee-only premium and up, they're going to be better off actually enrolling in the benefits. So we're having employers come to us and say, hey, we're getting employees coming to us because they're doing their taxes. And they're saying, hey, can we get in the plan now? Because we just found out we got a penalty. And we basically have to say no, not until your open enrollment, whenever that may be. That could be any time during the year. Typically, it's January, but not always.
Yeah, so yeah, I know some W-2 folks who just elect, well, shall we say they waive coverage because they didn't want to spend time thinking about it or doing anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so like I was talking to you earlier, Richard, it's going to be interesting because I think people are going to have a keener eye on all this stuff as they, you know, now that they actually see the difference in their return in their tax return or what have you. So.
Yeah, I think it was hard for people to make a decision because, you know, we hadn't filed any tax returns with any of this data captured on it. So it was all very theoretical leading into the 2014
right.
tax year, which of course the tax returns aren't due until April 15th of this year, mm-hmm. 2015. And mm-hmm. so for a lot of folks, I think it was sort of theoretical. But speaking of theoretical, let's get practical. We're going to take a really quick break here, which is going to be our last break of the night. We're going to be right back after we do that with Neil Staley with Hub International. Everybody hang on. Don't go anywhere. We're riding into the home stretch here with some Ponderosa music, Hosh Cartwright and the boys. So, Neil Staley, we've been talking about the Health Care Reform Act. It's coming up on its fifth birthday, so it's no longer a toddler. I don't know what it is now, an adolescent?
Yeah, I guess.
Badly behaved adolescent.
Exactly.
But we got a bunch of stuff that hasn't happened yet going forward into the future. I don't like to put people on the spot, but asking them to try to predict what this might look like, because as you mentioned, you did a presentation once where the next day they changed something.
Right.
But looking here at, first quarter of 2015, looking out over the horizon for 2016, 2017, what do you see coming? What should people be sensitive to or know about?
Well, one of the big changes on the horizon that people are kind of, it's another one of these things where they're, oh, that's way out there. But now it's coming up pretty quickly, and it's 2016. Small group in terms of determining what type of a group health plan you buy as an employer has always been up to 50 employees. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is supposed to change to go all the way up to 100.
Oh, okay.
Which is not really a good thing, because the small group business is a mess, because you have this age banding of rates that we had before, which were every set of rates was between, you had like 20 to 29, 30 right. to 39, so on and so forth. And everything was based on the employee age. And then if you had a dependent on there, it was still based on the employee age. And then if you had a family on there, it was still based on the employee age, and it didn't matter what the age is. Now, as we roll into ACA plans, which all employer groups that are small employers are rolling into, they have to have these plans that have every single age has its own rate.
Okay.
20, 21, 22, 23. Every single spouse has their own rate.
Wow.
Every single overage dependent. So all your 19, 20, 22, 23-year-olds have their own rate based on what they would have been if they were an employee.
Sure.
So that's happening in groups of 50 and under. Now you got all these groups that we have here locally, real nice, sophisticated biotech firms, tech firms that are 80, 90 employees. Mm-hmm. Those are decent-sized firms.
Yeah, that's like the San Diego business market.
Right. Those employers are now going to have those crazy age-rated plans, going mm-hmm. into 16. So that's the possibility. My hope, and I kind of feel like that there's going to either be a delay or a change in that before we get to 16, but we really don't know right now.
Wow.
And so that's on the horizon, and that's going to be a major change for a lot of employer groups, especially here in San Diego. So that's the one. The other one is that the one you've heard all the time, Cadillac tax.
Right,
it's Cadillac tax. Supposed to be back. It's down the road in 2018.
Okay.
That is kind of a laugher, in my opinion, because when they first came out with that, they said that if your premium's over a certain amount, then you're going to have to pay a tax. Well, now all those premiums are at that certain amount.
Yeah, so I don't know anybody. I mean, to call this affordable health care is a little bit inaccurate.
Yeah, so now they got to figure out, are we still going to have the Cadillac tax, and at what rate is it a Cadillac tax? It's kind of like the luxury tax on buying a car or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do with that. They're going to have to change the threshold for sure.
Of course.
But who knows what that's going to happen. I tell people, don't worry about that right at the moment, because that's one that could really, really change over the next 2 years.
Yeah. And if you happen to be a medium-sized employer, say, anywhere from 25 to 100 people, which is sort mm-hmm. of the San Diego marketplace,
mm-hmm.
What do you think is the A1 priority with regard to compliance here?
Just making sure that you do a good compliance check of your entire program, because it's just a good time to be checking to make sure the carriers are going to make sure you have a qualified plan mm-hmm. that's an ACA, approved plan, meets the minimum standards from that point of view. Then just making sure if you're an applicable large employer, so over the 50, that you're offering an affordable plan, so you're not charging any of your employees over 9.5% of their pay for employee-only coverage, so that you don't get a penalty from that perspective. So that's a important one. If you aren't offering health insurance at all, we're talking to a lot of groups, especially in the farming community and so forth, they're looking at the costs of offering a plan. We're looking at, especially in the farming industry, we have a high Hispanic population. Mm-hmm. We're looking at these plans that are over the border, which are very good plans that are half the cost, that they can go over the border for their care and have emergency care still here. So we're looking, you know, for those employer groups that have never offered insurance and they're looking at that $2,000 per employee penalty, we're looking at, you know, the implementing a plan that's a relatively lower cost plan for their employees.
I know you've been in the business a long time, not as long as I've been a CPA, but when you got into this business or you got pretty well entrenched in the business, did you ever think that benefits would come to the, shall we say, the presentation that they have now?
No, you know, it was strange because the law that was passed that guarantee issue in the state of California was in 1993, everybody thought, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. We got, you know, all the carriers have to have guarantee issue for any group over two employees, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And carriers are going to jump out of the marketplace. It actually made it very good. It actually was a good law because in California became one of the better places to do business and have benefits. This law is much more, you know, it's a much bigger deal, but it's, I couldn't have predicted it, you know, but it's, you know, something had to happen, obviously. I there's some parts of it that I like, there's some parts that I don't like, and there's, you know, but it's, you know, it is what we have. It's what we have right now, and we have to manage it. We have to help our clients manage it.
Yeah, and I actually think it's a good thing philosophically, but as we get into integration and implementation, I've been a CPA now for a little bit over 30 years. I never thought that we would incorporate health insurance reporting into the income tax regime.
Right.
It blows my mind because it's a total public policy play.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what income taxes have become. How to allocate dollars and important social matters. But I never thought I'd see the day as a CPA. And I don't really do tax returns, but I know a lot of CPAs who do.
And the reason for that is that, you know, there were four governing organizations that govern the healthcare reform. And one of them is the IRS.
Right.
And they were in charge of policing it. So you got the Health and Human Services, you got the Department of Treasury, you got the, you know, IRS, Department of Labor. And they all have certain duties. And so the IRS said, well, we're going to do it through the tax system, you know, right? So that's kind of the way that came about.
And that's exactly what's going on. Hey, Neil, we got a minute to go. What do you do for fun? Because I know you did something really fun recently, about a year ago, our alma mater out in the water. What was that?
Well, I was a rower in college on the crew team at University of San Diego, and I still spend some time staying in shape and getting out there on the water at Mission Bay and rowing.
Yeah, no, and our alma mater is frequently very good in crew.
They're going to be great this year. They got another chance of winning the Cal Cup Crew Classic this year.
Yeah, and I know you've got a son who's quite the baseball player too, right?
Yeah, Santa Fe Christian Eagles.
You guys pull one out today?
We did. La Jolla High School, we got them in top of the seventh, so it was a great game, great game.
Nothing like baseball season. Looking forward to that. Hey, everybody, really appreciate the attention. If you missed us live, just hit the podcast link on iymoney.com. It's your money, your life. Richard Musio with Neil Staley. Joe will be back next week. Thank you to Eric Rubalcaba, Dave Sniff, and the whole crew. We'll see you next week. Take care.